Hello, 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 and welcome to the Six Sides Radio Network with AJ and the squad on Friday night. Hello, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Sit back, make yourself comfortable. We've got a great night just for you. We're glad you are here. Hope you enjoy yourself. Tell a friend, call a friend. Come on in, sit back and relax, and hear what AJ and the squad got for you tonight.
Yep, got you here again. I didn't clean it up and everything. Got everything here, there. Yeah, what time is it there? Yeah, that boy's supposed to be home around about 3 o'clock. It's 2:45. 3 o'clock, he about that button, take me a quick little nap. Yeah, I have my gun right there. All right, take back in and take me a nap. Yep. Quick little nap, power nap in.
Gun in any state,
any country, any city, any town, everywhere. Once they leak their gun out, they think it's okay. And there are small children underage that comes around. In a situation like Little Billy, whether he dies or lives, that whole incident could have been prevented only if Mr. Johnson had to safely put up his gun at the corner, lock it in a case. You don't have a case? Go to your firearm store. Purchase a case. Purchase a safety case when purchasing your gun. At the corner, put it up. Lock it away. Put it somewhere where your children and others do not know where it's at. And you present a life that has been hurting, your feelings being hurting, and you present that life being taken just by locking it up and being responsible. Gun safety is very important. Contact your local ATF. Call United Way. Call your local sheriff department and get gun safety tips, as well as whatever store that you purchasing that gun from. Get gun safety tips on how to keep your gun out of the reach of a young person. And even if you want to get rid of your gun, one of the proper ways to get rid of a gun is to call your local sheriff department. They can have you to drive up to that local sheriff department, leave your gun within the trunk, and simply hand the officer the key and tell him you have a gun that you want to get rid of and it's in the trunk of your car. Stand clear, let the officer go in that trunk and get that weapon. Or have him come to your house. Have that weapon already ready to be presented. Leave it on the table and tell the officer where it's at. Have the officer come into your residence or onto your porch and pick up that gun. Please do not be near your gun when turning your gun over to an officer. That's a safety tip from Two Piece on the Six Eyes Radio Network with AJ and the squad. Gun safety is very important that you know.
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hit us up 424-243-9617. Check, check.
Lord, give me a sign. For this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. Preach. And the righteousness is of me, said the Lord. Preach. Amen. Lord, give me a sign. I really need to talk to you, Lord. The last time we talked, walk a bit hard. Now, I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown, and I'm still going through it. Pain in the hurt, soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt. And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name. In the name of Jesus, devil, I rebuke you for what I go through. You're trying to make me do what I used to, but all that stops right here. As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark. I will show no shame, fit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start. If you held me down, and ain't nothing they can tell me now. Lord, give me a sign. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all the time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind. Lord, give me a sign. Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do. Lord, give me a sign. Please show me strong. I'm tired of talking to him, knowing he's funny. Drive out, life ain't nothing. But you either be the one back as you trap or the one hunting. Trapped in your own mind, waiting on the Lord. I'm hunting with the words that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest hand. Through the trial and tribulation, you never let us down. Jesus, I know you're here with us now. Jesus, I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I want to feel, show me how, please. Let me take your hand, guide me. I walk slow, but stay right beside me. Devil's trying to find me. Hold up, I take that back, protect me and give me the strength to fight back. Let me know what's on your mind, let me know what I'm gonna find. All the time, show me how to teach the mind, show me how to reach the blind. Lord, give me a sign, show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you, cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do. Lord, give me a sign. Life or death, live or die, I will never live a lie. I'm gonna get because I try, I won't quit until I die. I'm gonna make it wrong or right, make it through the darkest night. When the morning comes, you'll see that all I have is God to give. Let me know what's on your mind, let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all the time, show me how to teach the mind, show me how to reach the blind. Lord, give me a sign, show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you, cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do. Lord, give me a sign, let me know what's on your mind, let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all the time, show me how to teach the mind, show me how to reach the blind. Lord, give me a sign, show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you, cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do. Lord, give me a sign.
That was Lord Give Me a Sign by DMA.
Hey there, people. How y'all doing? Yeah, talking to you and talking to you. I bet you're sitting here on this year's show and you want to say your leadership, huh? You want to be heard? You got a question you want to ask? Well, I'll tell you what you got to do. See, man, you listen to me because I listen. I know about these here folks and I'll be on this show a good while. So you're going to press that there win, and that there host the key. And see that there, going to let them know that you want to say something. Then you will listen, you'll say unmuted. And guess what? You're going to say something. So remember, you got to press that win if you got a comment, you got a question that you would like to ask the squad. And we thank you. All right? All right.
To replay, press 1. To decrease.
Greeting in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is truly the love of our life. And without Christ, we can do absolutely nothing. Father God, we repent of anything said, done, omission, commission to grieve thy spirit, Father God. Father God, we thank you for meeting us here one more opportunity at this appointed time, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, God. But Lord, we thank you, God, for meeting us on the Six Eyes Radio Network, Father God, with AJ and the squad, God. Lord, we ask, God, that you take shield and buckler tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Let not our ears, Father God, in the name of Jesus, hear, Father God, what we should not hear, but put us in a place, God, where we should be, Father God, with thee, God. But Lord, we ask, God, that you, Father God, take control, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We know, God, that you are able, God, to do all things above all that we ask or we think, God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, forgive us, God, of anything that we have done, Father God, or looked at anybody in the wrong manner, Father God, or thought the wrong thought, Father God. But most of all, God, we glorify you and we magnify your name, God. We thank you, Father God, for hearing our humble cry, Father God. There are so many that are crying out tonight, God. So many that are standing in the need of your healing and your deliverance tonight, God. Father God, we give you all praise and all of the honor, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Let us not leave here with an empty plate, God, but Lord, that our plate be filled tonight, God, that we hear what thus said the Lord, Father God. Give us ears to hear tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that we may be able, God, to encourage somebody about somebody that is on time, God, that's never late, God, but you're always on time, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We know, God, that you're that same God today, yesterday, and forevermore, Father God. And God, we glorify you and we magnify your name, God. Father God, we ask, Lord, to continue to uphold our children and our children, Father God. Father God, seal and protect them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. We know, God, that you're able, God, to do all things, Father God, above all we ask for things. And Father God, we ask, Lord, that you grant us that serenity tonight, God, to change the thing that we cannot change. But Lord, you have given us the courage to hold on to your unchanging hand, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Somebody going through, Father God, and somebody's heartbroken, God, and somebody misunderstood, Father God, but in the name of Jesus, God, you are able, God, to do it, Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, bless every speaker tonight, every introduction, Father God, every song, Father God. Father God, bless every mouthpiece tonight, God, like no other can, Father God. And we ask, Lord, that you do the increase, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we glorify you and we give you all praise and all honor, God. Continue to search us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. Bless every event, God. Everything, Father God, that's not like you, God. We ask, Lord, that you would decrease it, God, and that you would increase, Father God. And Father God, we ask, Lord, that you bless every charitable donations, God, that are given, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, to magnify God and to bring closure, Father God, to those, God, that are lost along the way, those that are searching, God, and those, Father God, that just don't know, God. But, Lord, we thank you, God, for being a mouthpiece, God, that somebody has an ear to hear what thus said the Lord. And, Lord, we give it all to you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. We call this thing already done, God, in your Son, Jesus Christ's name that we ask and that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Good evening, everybody. Thank you to Jada. Check. Apologize. It's uncheckable. Thank you to Mr. Two Piece and of course Benny's Clayton for that spiritual inspiration. Open in prayer.
Hello, everybody.
How y'all good?
Welcome to another episode of AJ and the Squad, Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hope everyone is good.
Yes, sir.
Remember, if you want to speak, press 1. We got us a little good little crowd in here tonight. So remember, if you want to talk, press that 1.
That's what's going on. How's everybody doing this evening? How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right, sir. You know, as we always do, we do our buddy checks and mental health and wellness checks. So if the queens would like to start us off.
Good evening again, everyone. Glad you all are here. This is the Queen calling out of North Carolina. And I'm tired, y'all. I just ain't no other way to put it. But I'm happy. I'm in good spirits. Things are great. Things are going good. I had a really, really good day today. A great day. School's about to start back, so we had meet the teacher yesterday, and I got to see all my little babies coming back in and all the new faces coming in, and I'm so excited. I am so excited, but I am so tired. But it's okay. I'm here with the squad. I'm here with all of our listeners. I'm here with my king. I'm good. My mental is great, and I hope that you're
appreciate you, Queen.
Yes, sir.
My name is Unshakable. Coming from Chi-Town. I'm with Queen. I'm exhausted. I had to do treatment today because I didn't do it yesterday. I was sick. But, you know, I'm all good, you know. I'm just going to give me some food and stuff, and I'll be good. But I'm here with the squad, AJ and the squad, so I'm all good.
Check.
Amen. This is Evangelist Clayton, and I'm hailing out of Tallahassee, Florida. Amen. Waving a hand at you, sunny side up. Amen. Ain't got nothing but love for you from the sunny side of Florida. Amen. And I'm here. My week has truly been an exhausting and a overwhelming week this week, and I just ask you all just to continue to keep me lifted up before the Lord, to keep my family lifted up. And tonight is a wonderful topic tonight that we're going to have tonight because it rings in my family tonight. Amen. And I ask you all just to continue to keep us lifted up, keep my niece and my sister lifted up in the loss of my niece's father that committed suicide. Amen. To God be the glory. He shot himself. Amen. And so took his own life. You know, and I tell you that's a devastating thing. He wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to to my niece, aunt, and told her all about what he was about to do. And his mom, you know, he had a conversation with his mom, and she wanted to ride with him, but he wouldn't let her get in the truck with him. And he went to the truck stop and took his own life, you know, hurt, pain, going through. That pain thing is something else, that depression and that overwhelming is something else. But tonight, today was the wake service. The service will be on Sunday. And so my week has truly been a trying and a progressive week for my sister, comforting my sister and my niece and my friends and family, and just to know God is able. But through it all, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm grateful, amen. We don't know how we're going to leave here. We're here now. We don't know what tonight, tomorrow is going to bring. But I give God all the praise and all of the honor. And through it all, I still got joy. Through it all, I still got strength, because he is my strength and my strong tower, and him that I trust. So you all just continue to pray much for me, Evangelist Clayton. Amen. But I'm here with the greatest group that I can ever be with. And that's AJ and the squad.
Amen.
Amen. That is a strength to me. Amen. And I love you all, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing that you can do about me loving you. Amen. All you can do is love me back.
Amen.
Amen. I am completed. Tonight I'm completed.
Amen. Amen.
I think we have. Did Destiny make it?
She has not, but I think we still got one more queen in here.
I miss Pride and Joy, I believe.
Yeah.
She with us tonight?
She is. She hasn't put up yet, so maybe she's busy in the background. We'll catch up with her.
Okay,
all right. We'll catch up with her.
All right. I was just going to put it out there, suggesting we have any other women, any other queens in the panel that's in the host queue. If you press 1, you can be heard, and you can share with us how you're doing, your mental, if you care to, if you choose to, if you wish to.
Here come my baby. Here she comes.
Hello?
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, well, thank you. Hello, hello. I'm Miss Pride and Joy, and my week has been a little bit difficult. I say a little bit of difficult. But one thing that kept me focused is God see the best in us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what is happening, what is going on. God see the best in us regardless of whatever it is. God going to help us. He's going to fight us through. He's going to take us through. And sometimes we're going to have to go through something. You know, nobody said that we'll never have to go through something. We're going to have to go through something sometimes. And sometimes we're going to have to, you know, learn how to cope with a lot of different things with us, especially, you know, when we have kids. We're going to have to learn to cope with what's going on. And I just thank God for being the God he is, and thank God for seeing us who we are today. So I just thank God for it. I hope each and every one of you have a wonderful, blessed night. We know that you will have a blessed night because, again, as we said before, you're with AJ and the squad. You can't do nothing but have a good night. So.
Yes.
Enjoy yourself out there. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself out there. Have a nice night, too, after you leave. Bye-bye, and come again, and all that good stuff.
May I, King, before you start?
Sure, absolutely. Go right here, Queen.
So I'm listening to, this is Queen again, listen to Miss Pride and Joy. She made the comment that nobody said it was going to be easy. And, you know, Mary told us that in a song. And like they said, I've come too far to turn back now. God didn't bring me here to leave me here now. But like you said, nobody said the road was going to be easy. But
nobody
believe he's brought me this far to leave me, because he didn't. He brought you this far to take you even further. So I'm just listening to how everybody's had such an awful week. You mean it's been crazy this week. And that's okay. He is removing to improve, so it's okay.
Amen.
It's okay.
That's right.
All right. That's right. Complete. You can go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Queen. And once again, the phone lines are open. Do we have any women, other ladies, any other queens that would like to share their mental health with us?
Hi. Good morning. Good evening.
Tell us your name.
Hello.
Where are you calling from, please?
Crawfordville, Florida. I was invited by Evangelist Clayton.
Come on in.
Mr. Clayton invited me, so How was my week? Well, bad days and good days. But I try to be happy. I try to be happy in the bad days.
Mm-hmm.
But I struggle a lot with my spine. It's a back injury, and some days it's like arthritis setting more, and I don't know, all kind of stuff going on with my back. But I just, you know, try to just live one day at a time, and some days I'm laying in the bed, some days I'm up. I was able to walk to Bible study on Wednesday night across the street, so that's a plus for me. Thank God for that. To be able to walk across the street, the church, right, call his skip and a hop, you know, Bible study. So I just thank God, you know, for all things. I just give him thanks. Yes, I have bad days and good days, but I try not to focus on the bad days more.
Because
if I do, I get sad, I get depressed, I get mad, I get crying, I'd be a big old baby. But I try to keep joy and happy and stay on the prayer line and all that good stuff. I keep my spirit from being depressed and oppressed a lot.
I love your accent. Where are you from?
The Caribbean Islands.
I love it.
But she has a beautiful accent.
Isn't it? Yes.
Thank you.
We got somebody that's going to sell us something. 425, you're unmuted, ma'am, sir. You'd like to speak? Go right ahead.
This is Denise over at Speak to Me.
Hi.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Okay.
So how's your mental?
Pardon me?
How's your mental doing?
Oh, fine. I'm supposed to be making a presentation at 6:30.
Okay, we're gonna get you to your wheel. Don't you go nowhere.
Okay.
Two oh 562. You just got unmuted. Would you like to tell us about your mentor?
Oh yeah, this is the Godfather. I'm feeling fine.
Oh God.
I know that's right. Welcome back, sir. Welcome back. You better tell him.
We love by you, Godfather.
You doing okay this week,
Mr. Godfather,
sir?
Glad to have you back,
sir.
Hey, I'm doing fine this time.
That's good. That's good.
I feel good. Just like I knew that I would.
Exactly.
It's going to make your bladder wet and your liver wet.
Oh, it's going to make my liver quiver and bladder splatter. Somebody's going to ask me what's the matter.
Somebody get that man a doctor.
I know, that's right.
I love it.
I'm glad he's back.
Any more kings?
How y'all doing? This is Two-Piece in South Carolina. Put that East over South Carolina on there. Us country boys, you know. honestly, it's something to start telling the truth. Like my daddy be getting on me about it. You know, if he was on here in the night, I don't know if he's going to say anything, but
okay,
my mental is pretty much good.
Hey, Daddy.
Yesterday, I must be honest, it went down because that marks like 8 years my mom was gone. So I woke up to him crying, and I started crying. Then it was like a change of action within the household. But we prayed together, released a balloon, and we all ate our favorite candy. Well, this is a baby root, and we got on through it. So now I'm feeling good. So, celebrating
right.
in good spirit. You know, y'all know what I'm doing. Smashing on some chicken.
Give me a piece.
You ain't bring that bread, buddy.
Big buddy, I'm going to pass it around. Everybody take
that part.
Keep
that. Just take the bacon and pass it on around.
Okay.
Don't be greedy, AJ.
Just don't leave me no dark meat. Whatever you do, don't leave me no dark meat.
Mm-hmm. I'll take the thigh and the breast. Take the thigh and the breast myself.
I know that's right.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell you. Do we have any more men? Do we have any more kings in the house tonight that would like to share their mental?
Yeah, good evening. I don't know if y'all can hear me or not.
Yes, sir, we can.
Yes, we can.
State your name and tell us where you call from.
John, calling out of Oklahoma. You know, just want to wish each and every one of y'all gentlemen and women a good evening. And
what's going on, John?
How y'all doing? Special condolences to your evangelist, Blake, for the loss of your loved one. Yeah, I'm doing all right. My mental as well. I'm keeping it in check. You know, we all go through some tough times in our life, but we, you know, got to keep leaning on God. You know, He's going to get us through whatever we're going through. So,
amen.
Y'all be blessed. I'm just listening.
Thank you,
I
sir.
Think you made it, John.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, John. Good to hear
you. Absolutely.
Sir.
Thank you. Bless us with your presence.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
Any more
Magic Clay, you might want to turn your phone up just a little bit, sweetie.
Okay.
If possible.
I got one right here. Wait a minute.
Go right ahead.
All right. 98216.
Hello, hello.
Hello, sir.
How's everyone doing?
Good evening.
Good. How are you?
Hey, for everyone.
Great. Got back from family reunion. Went good. I worked for free. They enjoyed it. Took LeVar. So it was a good family reunion. But the good thing is I'm hired on here on up. That's a good thing. And
okay.
Here with the squad. God bless. Yes, sir.
That's right.
And LeVar is six. And for everyone who doesn't know, that is Mr. Six from the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is his network, and we always appreciate him for letting us have this platform to be able to do what we do every Friday.
And we have Sky, the doggy squad. She's trying to say hi, too, so you got here in the background.
Well, yeah. Rough.
She is going crazy.
Hey, that's all right. We got a T-shirt for her, too. Anyone else? Okay, well, I guess that leaves it to me then.
Of course, you say the best for last.
Well, you know, I listen, if you say that from your lips or to everybody's ears, right? Who am I? Good evening, everyone. I am AJ, and I am calling out of Cleveland. My mental is good. I have nothing really to complain about. A few toss and turns this night, a little restlessness going on. But I have, you know, like always, a lot of things going on. Right now I'm just really trying to stay focused on my son. He's going through a few things, so that's my main priority. I'm blessed. I have, you know, Queen riding with me, helping me take care of a lot of personal business off of the phone. So making a lot of progress on those fronts. And like I said, of course, I'm here on the Six Eyes Radio Network with the squad. So I am blessed. I am good, and I have nothing to really complain about. So with that, I'm complete. And I thank everyone for showing up tonight.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody. Yes.
Phone lines
are open, 424-243-9617. Press 1 if you'd like to talk. So y'all ready? Y'all ready to sit back and relax?
I didn't hear Mr. Greg in the building. Is Mr. Greg in the building?
Yes, I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Oh, okay. I thought somebody was missing somebody. Hello, sir. Good evening to you, sir.
How's your mental, sir?
If I was here or not, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you're here, my brother. You are definitely here.
You're here.
Okay. Well, good evening to everybody. My name is Greg. AJ.
Hey,
I hope everyone is doing well.
Absolutely,
yeah,
sir.
Doing great.
You're doing well, Greg, tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Good to hear you, Ms. Evangelist Clayton. Good to hear everybody, the familiar voices, the non-familiar. Glad everybody is here, you know. Of course, everyone else together in his name, there he'll be. So we know that he's definitely in the midst of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nothing but love and family here.
Yes.
And since you have the mic, Mr. Greg, would you like to... Introduce your guest speaker tonight, sir.
Yeah, I believe he's in here, I believe. I don't know if y'all have a system where you can see, like, the numbers or whatever. But
if it's the number he gave me, he's not in here yet.
You don't see a 901, 22.
Nope, only one I have is you, sir.
Okay. I literally, when I didn't know that I was on the phone with y'all live, I was on the talking to him. So they should be coming in any second.
I have a, I'm 901-13, and that's it. That's the only one I have.
That's the 901-13.
Right.
So,
is the 901-13, is that Greg or is that our guest speaker?
Yeah, that's me, 13.
That's Greg. Yeah,
okay, okay. Well, until he gets here.
It's okay. Let's run over an American history moment. How about that?
Let's see what we got on for American history today.
Yes. We have William Pickett. Does anybody know who William Pickett was?
Yeah, I do.
William Pickett was the first.
He was an American.
Okay. He was American what? Go ahead and tell me.
He
see
was an American
right.
Soul singer, R&B soul singer.
See, now, I knew you was going to say that because you was thinking about Pick and Bill and William Pickett. I was, he going to fool y'all. This was Pickett was the first black cowboy.
Oh, he was a cowboy.
Yes.
He
was the originator of rodeo, steer wrestling, and bulldogging. He was an American cowboy known as Bill Pickett. He's believed to have been born on November the 5th in 1870 in Travis County, Texas. He was one of 13 children, right, and he was married to Maggie Turner, and they had 9 children. Mr. Pickett was only 5'7", and weighed 145 pounds, and he only had a fifth-grade education. He went to work on a ranch and soon learned to bulldog the steers by grabbing their horns, twisting their back, and holding them down by their upper lip. At 5'7", and 145 pounds, he could do all this to a bull. That's pretty serious.
Strong.
Him and his brothers started the Pickett Brothers Rodeo Busters and advertised the catch and entertainment of specialty. Unfortunately, Mr. Bill was killed in an accident in 1932. Guess what? By a horse.
By a horse.
And I am queen, and that's been your American history moment. Right.
Yeah, he bucked
by a horse.
He bucked him. Yeah, he still did.
That's correct.
Evangelist Clayton, your phone sounds muffled. I don't know what's
my
going
phone
on.
Does?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's why I tried to tell you earlier because you turned it up because you sound like, you remember when y'all was talking about me earlier, like I sounded different on my phone? Yeah, now you sound like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that's ironic. He can handle a bull but not handle a horse.
Right.
A bull is more powerful than a horse.
He pulled a bull down and pinned it with no problem, but he was killed by a horse.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe he was caught off guard when it happened.
And he was 52,
well,
so.
One thing for sure, we know
he
took off one time.
You got
to remember the wild horses is pretty vicious, they sell.
That's right. That's right. One kid.
They're more lucrative than a bull.
Okay.
More
wow.
Yeah.
Well,
more agile.
On a good note, he did follow the Bible. He took off work 9 times.
He did. He's our guest speaker here, y'all. Yay.
All right.
That's right.
Oh, you can hear
Yay.
Me now.
Yes, and we could just try to turn yourself up a little bit, sir. And Mr. Greg, would you like to go ahead and...
I'll take the honor in introducing the young man that will be speaking this evening. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
It is both a honor, a pleasure, utmost respect to be able to introduce you all to the guest speaker on this evening, a very close friend of mine. You know, it's just, you know, God, we all know God is such an awesome God, and how he connects us can no one else connect us. And Zarek and I, we met much later in life, but we met through the blind school at the Tennessee School for the Blind in Nashville, Tennessee. We both reside in Memphis. And now I introduce you all to tonight's guest speaker. His name is Zarek Macklin. Zarek, it's your show, bro.
After this song, Zarek, you'll be able to speak as soon as this song is played, sir.
Okay.
And while we're waiting for them, we can hear you, sir. We can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on 6Sides Radio Network. Hit us up 424-243-9617.
But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. Somebody just needs to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better when I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger, now I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would
have
made it.
Tell them never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it. I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm strong. I'm wise. I am better. So much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I, good God Almighty, never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Sing it one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody stay with me. Oh, oh, oh.
That was Marvin Sapp. Never could I made it.
All right, Ms. Lizard, before you speak, I just want everybody to know you are muted with the exception of Ms. Uncheckable, our speaker, and Greg, because I believe y'all will be assisting him tonight. Everybody else, you are muted. We will take you off in a little bit for questions and answers and comments. So sit back and relax. Mr. Zurich, you're up, sir.
Okay, so.
Yay.
Start speaking, you don't need to mute or you have control of that, right?
Yes.
Can you hear me clear?
That's
okay.
You
say what? Okay. Man, it's on. It's on man. I promise. Let it get you. It's on. It gets you. Feel about this song, this Derek, 40 years old. I just want to give a little, you know, a little story about me and situation that I went through in life that made me lose my vision.
Okay, so tell us, how did you grow up as a child?
Well, I grew up, you know, with a good family, a loving family. You know, my mother and my father. And I know at the same time, I can't lie and act like we, you know, like the Brady Bunch, you know. We weren't like that. We didn't have a perfect family, but it feels good to have your mother and father around. But, my brother, too, you know, my brother Bremer, you know, that was my older brother. And he had two kids. Well, one that I know about, my niece, Bria. You know, that's my close niece, you know. And matter of fact, I think he do have another child, He had lost. You know, he didn't live that long. Still, the child that we lost is still in my heart. And my brother, you know, is not here, still in my heart.
You can tell him to your
father. Now, it was a couple of years ago, the type of lifestyle my brother was living. You know, he was shot. He left him in the car. The type, like I said, the lifestyle he was living, you know, selling dope. You know, the type of people you hang around. You know, the best that you'll get yourself caught up in. But like I said, we had a good mother. She always kept us on the right path anyway. Always kept us on the right path, kept us in church, telling us to pray. You know, it's good to have someone to really guide you. You know, because when you meet the world, you know, it's a whole nother situation. I mean, it'll be a whole nother, I might as well say it's a whole nother world you'll be meeting when you leave your house. You know, that's where all your love is in the house. So everything you teach your kids, you know, in the house, and, you know, all that's important right there is telling you something, you know, when they leave. So when I was getting older, I got caught up, you know, just from meeting people. When I say caught up, you know, hanging around gang members. I never thought about me being caught up in something like that. Never thought about that at all. Usually, you know, my mama, she kept us in church. So, in school, I always stayed in school, doing good grades and all. My brother, the same. You know, he was real good in math. He used to help me out. Even though he'll hurry up and rush and not really, you know, spend time to break it down and show me how to do it. But, you know, regardless, he'll be on my side, being a big brother, help me out with my homework. That's a good thing. And, like I said, it's a part of love. And my mama, like I said, she worked at Baptist Memorial Hospital, you know, doing echo. She always, like I said, got us in the right direction. Anytime when we go to school and come home, same directions every day. When you come in the house, clean up, do your homework, don't go outside. So all the stuff that, you know, that's a daily thing. So like I said, that stuff you have to keep in your head, you know, just to show who you need to keep on your team. You know, you got to watch the people you're around. You know, that's what it's all about. So my mom and dad, at a young age, for me, you know, they had got divorced around that time. I know I should have been, probably around 10 years old, 9 or 10 years old. I used to love seeing my mother and my father together all the time. You know, I feel good even when we go somewhere, my mom and my dad and my brother. It feels good. When I was young, I remember the time when my dad was locked up. That's something I'll never forget, you know. Even to this day, sometimes, you know, I shake my head because I still got the pictures in my head of what happened that day the first time when I saw my father be arrested. You know, it's something that it's kind of hard to let go. You know, I always have stuff stuck in your head that you always remember. But at the same time, I try to measure my good and my bad, you know. And I balance more love and happiness. I try to keep that on my mind more than negative stuff. And that's what I have on my mind about my mother and my father, you know, all the love and happiness and, you know, support that they gave us. But when we got old ourselves, you know, you get to the point where you out in the world, you gotta have your mind ready and have your guards up, because when you're in the world, you know, you don't know who you're gonna meet, who you're gonna bump into, or, you know, like I said, it's just like a buffet. You know, you got a lot of food in front of you that's getting your attention. And you just gotta be ready. And me, I thought I was. I say around the age of 15 when I really was out here in the streets, you know, hanging with some of my friends. You know, my friends were gang-related. You know, a lot of them were Bloods. Some were Vice Lords. They had good parents, too, but like I said, you just turn into a different character when you leave the house and you're on your own in the world. That's when you think you know, you know everything. Think you know what you can do and what you can't do, and I want to do this and want to do that. But whatever you were told in the house, you know, like I said, keep that in your mind and go by what they told you. Go by what you were taught. But I know myself, just because I'm out in the streets, you know, and not living my life right. So my mind was not on the right path. But in my heart, I still know that I know when I'm doing something wrong. You know, make my heart beats when I know that I'm doing something wrong. So the time when I was in the street gang banging and getting deeper into it, I'm hanging around, you know, certain people and certain neighborhoods, things like that. All that is tied up to, you know, your future, you know.
So tell us, how did you get into hanging out with the gang members, doing all this not-so-right things? How did you get
into
all that?
Really, I guess meeting new people. I mean, you know, who you feel comfortable around. You know, you start meeting people. And that's how I started feeling comfortable. When I started meeting, remember, and we think, you know, get close like it's brothers. And I started meeting them in school, around the neighborhood. But when I started meeting them around the neighborhood, those are my friends. You know, those are my close ones who I'm around every day. So we started getting real close, started going to the same school. And during school, I was all about my work. You know, I'm not the type of person who goes to school trying to be bad and not having bad grades. No, I was focused. I was good. You know, I wanted to be an engineer. That was my goal. You know, I had a future.
Oh, you was a good boy, bad boy, huh?
Yeah. So I look, matter of fact, one statement I use, I say, everybody wore a mask. And it seemed like I had a mask on because in front of my mother, man, I'm like Martin Luther King in front of my mom.
Right.
But in the street, you know, I'm like Bone Thugs and Harmony, Tupac or Biggie or something like that, you know.
Right, okay.
You know, jewelry, you know, I like jewelry, money, you know, so, yeah, I used to smoke, all of that after school, used to work and all that, you know, I wasn't bad, want to get money, I like to get it the right way, I didn't want to be a dope, you know, that wasn't my goal, you know, I can't wait to hustle and need this and stay a dope, that wasn't just me, I work all the time.
Okay.
So,
where did you work at?
I started out at KFC. You know.
Okay.
You know, I was there for a while, you know, probably about a year.
KFC.
You know, after that, I started working at, I worked at warehouses. But one was, matter of fact, Dixie Cafe.
Yeah.
That's when I started out being a chef, you know, working at Dixie Cafe.
And
we
the restaurant up there on Lamar.
Another one called Pilot.
Yeah.
And then Pilot, you know, Arby's. So I used to work with there too. So, you know, I kept myself occupied, you know, because it's showing that at home I was raised right. You know, I wasn't out, like I said, trying to open strong, you know, and get money quick, trying to get it legal.
You just wanted to be with your bad friends, the gang bangers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I get my opinion. You know.
Yeah. So. You
stop noticing
your daddy.
Yeah. Matter of fact, yeah. My older brother. One of my older brothers, anyway.
Dad.
Yeah. So my dad's side, Kevin and Tony. You know, when I used to see them, you know, like I said, they stayed fresh, good clothes, you know, creased up pants, jewelry, you know, goals in their mouth. Oh, that's what gave my attention. So, you know, I'm ready to give me some money. I want to give me some money. So I know. My brother Kevin, when I found out that he was in a gang, he was one of my rivals. I mean, he was, you know, like I said, we weren't against each other at all. But the crazy thing, you know, we on different sets. And it's crazy because it's hard to show love. Like, you know, in situations like that, because, you know, you put your life in danger too. You know, you can't, like I said, you can't trust everybody. You don't know who will do something to you. on my brother's side or my, on my side, you know, something could happen. So, like I said, that's another a little gap between me and my brother, too. And like I said, my mother, she was doing her part, working as a mother. I was supposed to be focusing on school and things, but I'm getting my attention is getting cloudy because of the streets, gangs, money, jewelry, stuff like that. And
yeah.
I got caught at school, I say probably 16. I'm 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
What,
17? You was
18
when you got caught at school with the rifle.
Mm-mm, I was 17.
Okay, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, 17 when you got caught in school with the rifle.
Yeah, I was at
17.
No matter what, my first charge in school, you know, they had caught me with an SKS rifle.
And
I'm glad, like I said, everything happened for a reason. And the reason why I had that at school, you know, I had animosity with some people. You know, rival gangs. I don't even know them. I bumped into them one day at school. You know, they pulled up in the car, throwing fists up. You know, I'm doing the same thing back. I see my red bandana hanging out, and they told me, you know, hey, we gonna get you. We gonna kill you. We gonna kill you. You know, to me, I feel like, man, you gonna kill me? You gonna kill me? Then, bro, I'm gonna take this seriously. I ain't gonna sit up here and wait on somebody to kill me. So they don't know me. I don't know them.
So that's why you took the gun. Let's go.
Yeah.
And when this is Eric's mother,
hi.
Can I interject for a minute? Hey, my name is Linda.
Okay.
When Zarek got caught at school with the gun, I was on sick leave, and I was just looking at the noonday news, and they just show the car and the rifle in the back laying on a sheet or a towel. And I said to myself, that looks just like my car. Mm. And they kept going around, you know, the newsman kept going around the car, you know, and I realized that it was my car. And Zarek eventually, you know, when he called me, they had already arrested him. But it was a shock for me to see my car on TV, my son getting arrested, and I'm seeing a rifle, and I had no idea that he was leaving this life.
Wow. So when you went down to the police station to get him, what was your reaction?
I was highly upset.
Mm-hmm.
I was because and actually, somebody snitched on Zarek. That's how they found out that the rifle was in the car. And that was a blessing that day.
I know, right?
Because if nobody had snitched on him, he may have gone through with what, you know,
his
with
plan.
Whatever his plan was.
Yeah.
So somebody snitched on him, and that's how they found out that the rifle was in the car. Now I'm really I mean, you know, I was glad of that because things could have gone a whole different way. But I was really confused on what to do next once, you know, I went down to get him. I didn't know what to do next.
So
yeah.
Let me know, like, you know, when you went to go get him, you was highly upset. Did he get a lot of time? Did he get expelled from school? What happened?
Well, I know when we went to court about it. Well, matter of fact,
did you
we
get
got
expelled?
Yeah, I ain't got. Yeah, they put me out of school.
Yeah.
So when they put me out of school, man, that's more extra, you know, time on my hands. No, I ain't got nothing to do. I was working, you know, still doing the same thing, but. My mother, she was at work, so she don't know the other side of me. She don't know what I'm doing.
But after the suspension was up, they allowed him to register in what did they call
night school?
State at that time.
Was
oh,
it
no,
night school?
Voting. He was supposed to go to daytime Chevy Steak downtown. It was a classes in there that they let children register in, you know, when they've gotten in trouble. I just put it like that. So, yeah, remember you used to drive, you started driving down, you know, down.
It was called Voltec.
In Southwest Community College.
Southwest, yeah. Remember there, because when you start going down there, remember you was driving one day, you had a flat or got stuck in the mud or something, you called me at work. But while you was going there, and that's when you got shot during that time. During that time, you got shot. See, a lot of some things you may not remember the sequence.
I know.
But remember when you start going down there, you during this time, you know, you got shot. And I'll just let you take it from there.
So,
yeah, before
so after you was going, after you got expelled and went to court and everything, you kept doing the same things that your mother didn't know you was doing. So tell us, what else did you get yourself into after you got expelled from school?
I was still working. But I got caught up in we had went up to Wooddale. And I had saw, you know, I was looking for drivers, you know, the ones who I knew I was going to get. So we were jumping out of cars, snatching jackets and whooping people. The people who said they were going to get me, because like I said, I had a lot of friends. I don't go out and start stuff. If you threaten me or something like that, I'm going to come towards you first. If I see you, I'm going to want to get you started first. So that's what happened. We were going up to Wooddale. I'd say probably two or three days straight. And if we see somebody who we were looking for, we'll just jump out the car, go over there, start firing on them, just whooping people. So, yeah, when I look back at this stuff right now, like I said, I can't believe it's something that I was doing.
Right, so yeah. did you ever hurt anybody?
What do you mean? Like from fighting or?
Like, did you ever use the guns or anything like that? Beat somebody up real bad, they get, you know, put in the hospital?
Yeah, I have used guns.
Okay. I mean, if you're not comfortable talking about it, you don't have to talk about it. So, getting further on into your teenager years, so you had a lot of friends that was in games. So, did they used to come over, hang out at the house? Did they ever see your mom? Did your mom ever see them? Did she ever notice that you was in the game?
She saw some of my friends, but the way how we present ourselves, you know, we don't look like gang members. I mean, you don't see us paying, sagging, you know, looking like thugs. You know, you see us creased up pants, polo shirts. You know, we don't look like gang members. But my mother, you know, she met some of my friends, my peoples, but she didn't know. Like I said, she didn't know that I was in the gang. She only had a question over her head. She could only assume and see what's going on. You know, she been trying to, you know, pinpoint me, but, you know, heavy caught.
Well, that brother, the one that got killed, he told me he knew Zarek was in a gang, and he had known for some time, but it had got to the point where he had to tell me. You know, he couldn't hold it anymore. So he talked to me and Zarek's dad. And by this time, you could feel it in the air that things were escalating with Zarek and his other lifestyle.
Okay.
He was introvert. When he would come home, you know, I couldn't get him to talk or anything like that. So I knew something that wasn't right. But, you know, once my other son told me Derek was in a gang, I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was nothing to do about it.
So why? What made you so fascinated with guns?
I don't know. Well, I know you remember the movie Menace to Society.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with Kane. It started like, you know, the way how they used to dress on TV.
Uh-huh.
I used to be like that. Snoop Dogg, like I said, music, you know, just how they used to dress and guns. Menace to Society. I mean, when I used to see the things they did, type of guns they had, same type of guns I used to want. And when I did have a gun, I was young, really. I was in middle school, probably about eighth grade. It was 22. That was my first time. It was 22. And since then, I just started falling in love with guns. Since that grade. Probably around, 14? That's when I started following those guns.
Okay. So my next question, how did you become blind?
I lost my vision from a gunshot. You know, got older, had a .38 special. That day when I used that day, like I said, when I lost my vision, you know, it just changed. It changed my life that day. One of my friends was over my house. Okay, you can go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, so tell us more about what happened, what led up to that day. What happened?
Somebody
with that gun.
Yeah. That day, that's my Sunday. My mother, she was at church. My mother was at church. And when she got out of church, she went over to my grandmother's house. She said when she pulled up over there, and he had got a call.
Yeah, well, Derek I used to take him to church, but he was getting older where, you know, it was a challenge trying to get him to go to church. So that day, this Sunday, he told me that he was supposed to work that day, so I didn't press him a lot about going to church. I went off and left him at the house thinking that he would be going to work later. Anyway, when I normally go past my mom's house when I get out of church. And when I was pulling up in the driveway, somebody was calling me on my phone. It was a girl that was with Zarek, ma'am. I'm going to let Zarek tell you, but this girl was calling me on the phone, telling me that Zarek had got shot.
And that was my close friend. That was his girlfriend. And I was in my house when this stuff happened. I went in there and got my pistol, .38 special. You know, .38 special got a, you know, felt the trigger. You can barely touch that trigger to go. So he had my room sitting down talking to his girlfriend. I came in the phone with the gun. And, matter of fact, I need to tell you, because of my gunshot, you know, sometimes my thoughts, you know, kind of be threw off a little bit, or I had to kind of gear back when I talk. So,
right.
Yeah, just letting you know. But, that day when I came in there with my gun, he saw me spinning the gun around. And like I said, he was on the phone with his girlfriend. And, I got closer to him. And, he was like, he told his girl, like, there, go here, spinning the gun around. you know, I was about to stop doing it, and I spent it again. And that's when the gun slipped out of my hand, you know, as a reaction. I tried to catch the gun. And my thumb pulled the trigger. Gun went in my right jaw. And when it went in my, well, the bullet, yeah, the bullet went through my jaw and went up in my mouth.
Oh.
And, yeah, it stopped on the left side of my head. Like, it cracked my skull.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm going to tell you, like, really, I'm sorry, I got to just put this part in there. When I know God is so real, I mean, I was blessed because, I mean, if you look at me, you'll see on the right side of my jaw, you'll see a little, like, a scar, but people think it's a dimple, you know. So this tells you, I'm so happy I feel, you know, this for real, because when I got shot, I mean, the side of my head for real was swole like a pumpkin.
Oh, yeah. When Sarah got shot, I was leaving my mom's house trying to get to the hospital because when they called me, the ambulance was already at my house. And they were loading Zarek in, and the girl was trying to tell me what happened. And Zarek's friend, Junior, he was too upset to say anything. So I knew that I may, you know, beat them or meet them on the way to the meeting. Anyway, on my way to the hospital, I saw the ambulance, but I didn't know Zarek was in there. I saw the ambulance. Went in park, and I saw them taking Zarek out of the ambulance, taking him to a trauma room to be to get ready for surgery. And by the time he came out, you know, it was several hours. Well, before then, the trauma surgeon told me that he may have a 20% chance to live, if that much. And these were fulfilled. I knew that if he, you know, if he did make it on 20%, his quality of life would be, you know, less than 50%. It would really be terrible. So
right.
I told, don't worry about save him. Because 20% was not enough to have enough hope in. And she, I mean, I really insulted that trauma surgeon. She really put me in my place. She said that 20% was better than zero. His daddy was there with me also, and he said, no, 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 go ahead, try to save my son. You know, it was just a whole lot of emotions. But I'm glad that they didn't pay attention to me.
Right.
I'm so glad they did not pay attention to me. And after a couple of days, Zarek's head was so big. It was as big as a basketball. And the bullet also severed one of his optic nerves, and it damaged the other one. So that's why, you know, he's not getting any connection between his optic nerve and his brain. But once he left surgery a couple of days, his head was huge. They had this meter in his head to watch the pressure in his brain, and his eye, one of his eyes was just out on his jaw. He still has both his eyes. The pressure from his brain had pushed his eye out, one of them, on his jaw. And they covered him up real good, and they told us they told us to watch our conversation, watch our emotions, because the pressures in his brain, they didn't want the pressure to increase. You could see that meter going there, when we would be in there sometime and Zarek's brother would be upset and his dad would be upset, and then Mita would be, you know, going back and forth, and they would have to tell us we would have to leave because they didn't want the pressures in his brain to keep going up because he could hear things that was around even though he was in a coma. And when he was in a coma for, I don't know, three weeks, maybe 4 weeks or something like that. So one morning at 1 a.m., he wanted to talk to the nurse. He told the nurse to call his grandma. My mother, you know, she makes butter rolls. Eric likes her butter rolls. So he came out of the coma. His head was still big and wrapped up and everything, but he did, his memory was not great. But he did remember my mom's phone number. And
wow.
She had told him, you know, several days later, Zarek, when you get out, she's spoken to his ear. Zarek, when you get out the hospital, I'm going to fix you a butter roll. So when he woke up in coma, he told the nurse to call his grandma, and he gave the nurse the phone number. Called my mom and reminded her that she said she would get him a butter roll when he got out the hospital.
You and wanted that butter roll, huh?
Yeah. See, you know, you could barely understand him because, you know, his whole face was big, his lips were big, his tongue, you know, he couldn't control his tongue. It was out. It was just, it's a miracle.
I know. I can't even come out to this day. I still just can't believe it. I mean, it's hard to really swallow it. It's hard. But,
y'all hear me?
Like I said, a lot of when I look back, and just like this song that they was playing on here, when I look back at my life, the old part of me, man, it's like blessing just to have a family. I love it.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
So Zarek, if I may ask this question for Ms. Uncheckable and other people that are listening. Do you mind to tell us now, do you have any children?
Yeah, I have two boys and a daughter. And all of my kids, they were put into this world while I was blind. You know, that's part of my new life. And that's my, you know, that's my heart right there. That's really what gives me strength. It gives me strength, man. It made me keep on going in life. So.
For how old are your kids?
Say that one more time.
How old are your kids?
My daughter, she's 17, about to be 18. My son, ZJ. Well, my daughter, her name is Elijah. My older son, Zeri Jr., he's 15. He's about to be 16. And my younger son, he's 10.
Okay.
Demir. Yeah. So, yeah, those my angels right there, man. And I just got married last week, so I got a
congratulations.
Congratulations.
My life. Yeah. So like I said, that's my new lifestyle. So when I compare that to the old, you know, I'd rather keep what I got now instead of live the old life. I like what I have right now, you know.
But, so
like I said,
how long were you in the hospital until you got out? You know, with the gunshot and everything, you was in a coma for 3 weeks. So how long were you in the hospital? And then how did you adapt to your new life?
So you know that he don't have a lot of that memory. So he was in the med about 4 weeks. And then from the med, he went to Baptist. He was there about 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. And when he went to Baptist, they considered doing some other kind of surgery on his, what kind of surgery was, they was going to try to close up that hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a fissure or a hole in the roof of his mouth from the gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
And they
okay.
considered closing that up, and they wasn't going to, you know, it was going to be less than 50% chance that he would make it out of the surgery. So Derek said he declined it. He was, you know, he was lucid at this time, but he declined it.
Okay.
Now that's the part when I came out of the coma.
Yeah.
And there was some airhead got into my head.
Right.
And the pain was so severe where my eyes were like red. My tears were even hot coming down my jaw. My tears were hot. Man, my head was hurt so bad. I said, when they told me I would have to have surgery on my brain and all of that, and they said, if we do have surgery on his brain, he might just end up being a vegetable. You know, I won't be able to, you know, do anything hardly. And that's when I told the doctor and my mother, I told them, I don't want to do it. Let me go to heaven. If I got to just lay on the bed and can't do this and that, I don't have no reason to be here. I'd rather be in heaven. So I had members. Matter of fact, before they took me to have surgery, I had members from my church and family members, you know, they prayed for me before it happened. So during that time, when they were about to have surgery, they were looking for a bubble. They saw a bubble on my brain.
Yeah.
And they said,
X-ray, yeah.
They said it comes from the air going into my head. So that what was bringing up, you know, the pain to me. So when they said they're going to have surgery, they used, you know, to see the bubble or whatever.
It was a CT scan.
Yeah, CT scan. So they used it, and they saw the bubble on there first. And
right.
This, like I said, this time they're about to have surgery.
Yeah.
They went again to look for the brain. Like, this
look
was,
for the bubble.
I mean, the bubble, yeah. This is the part, I mean, this is after I was prayed for. After
yeah.
I was prayed for, they went in there. They went in there looking for the bubble. The doctor didn't see it, so they got another doctor to look at it, you know, just to see, you know, is it him? They couldn't find it, or they let someone else try it. Another doctor, they looked. They couldn't find it. So everybody just had a question, like, what happened? I mean, everybody forgot, like, God is real. But I'm telling you, when they had prayed for me, that's when things changed right there.
Yeah.
So. People, I'm just telling you, when it comes to stuff like that, man, put your faith in God, because sometimes the doctor can't do nothing about it. It's only one doctor, and it's God. And that's who helped me out then. So, you know, I always put my faith in him. And me losing my vision right now, that's what keeps me strong and keeps me. Without God,
okay.
Without a love, I wouldn't be how I am right now.
Right. So how did you adapt to being blind? You know, was it a
well,
rough?
It was really, no, it wasn't rough at all. Now, but one thing that I will not forget now, it wasn't too long after I had got out the coma. When I called my grandmother, matter of fact, when I called her house that day, I never thought about I'm blind or I didn't even think about that at all. I just wanted to talk to my mom. I didn't even think about it. I can't even see. But
right.
Like I said, when I got out of the coma and when my mama came in the room, we're up. I'm sitting up talking. And that's when I really paid attention, like, I can't see. You know, and that's what I told my mom. I said, what I'm going to do?
Yeah, you did. I remember that. I remember that conversation.
Yeah, I remember that now. I remember a tear falling then. But that's a whole new lifestyle. It's like being born again.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. So.
So, where is Junior now? You know, what happened
yeah,
with Junior?
man, it's still my closest, like, they're still my closest friend right now. I mean, we've still been around each other. You know, he's been coming to the hospital seeing me since I got out the hospital. We've still been around each other every weekend or every other weekend to this day. Either I'm on the phone with him or when I come to Memphis, you know, we gonna kick. We close like brothers.
But can I say this?
Yes.
Since Junior was there with him, and for a long time, Zary couldn't see Junior's face anymore, his emotions or nothing like that. But for a long time, that incident that happened at the house, it was hard on Junior.
I bet.
Years. It was. It was.
I bet.
And my family and I, we reassured him over and over and over again that he had, you know, we don't hold him responsible.
Exactly.
You know, it wasn't his fault. And the few days after it happened, Junior, he just looked like a worn out person. He couldn't hold his shoulders up, face and everything. And every time we would see him, we would love on him and tell him, you know, try to reassure him that this was not his fault. You know, none of that was his fault. And really, Junior is, Zary might know better than me, but right now he is the only one out of old neighborhood and from school and whatever that has continued to be around Zary, continue to be his friend. He's the only one.
Yeah, because when you go through something like that, you know, your friends, your so-called friends disappear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
they disappear.
They show you right there, you know, who your friends are.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, that's what really got my attention when it comes to gang. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, everybody don't live the same type of lifestyle, don't have the same family. You know, everybody haven't went through the same situations in life, but it's always an option, you know, how you want your life to be. It's an option of who you want, type of people you want to be around and all of that. So I feel like people that are gang-related, to me, I feel like some of them, people that need to have, some people that are looking for love. You know, a lot of people just looking for love. Sometimes, you know, you can be geared in the wrong direction just from the type of people you're hanging around. But, yeah, I know. Yeah, no, not me. I had plenty of love in my family. I've been speaking on others, too. You know, there's so many people in games, but, you know, parents or family members always have questions. You know, why he do this or why she do that? Why they in the game? I mean, everybody got different reasons, but the point is you got to look at life how serious it is. You know what I'm saying? Life is like a diamond. I mean, you can't just go outside and find a big diamond every day. You know what I'm saying? You get life one time. If you got some precious thing, use it like it's your child. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to lose your child just like you don't want to lose your life because you can't get it back.
Right. Okay. Zarek, I love this story. But we're going to try to wrap it up so we can pay some bills and play this other song. All right, Queen?
Sure, sure. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. All right, let's see who we can pay tonight. That was great. And thank you to your mother for coming in and joining us. I appreciate that.
One is good.
Yes, appreciate you, Mama.
Well, you're welcome.
All right, let's take care of this.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
We thank you for that. I'm going to take everybody off mute. Take a few minutes and ask some questions if anyone wants to. But we're going to listen to this wonderful song first up. Everybody good? Everybody okay?
Yes, ma'am. We're here.
Man, we're good. We're good.
Amen.
To God.
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the Six Times Radio Network. Hit us up. 424-243-9617. Mwah.
There is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds and it's dark in my heart and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day. Where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over. came down from heaven. Hardship, difficulty, tears, storms. This is what I do. But that feels good. All things are working. Hallelujah. I know it's hard right now. Because you're a winner. You look better. Dallas. New Orleans. Come on. Cleveland. Detroit. I want you to be happy, but then you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. Smile.
And that was Smile by Kirk Franklin.
Alright. Well, we're gonna open up the floor for any questions, comments that you have for our guest speakers.
Amen.
May I?
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Zeri.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Just listening to Mother talk back there, amen, helping you along with your story. I thought about, because I'm a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother, and mom and papa and them always told us, hard head makes us soft behind.
Yep.
And I know that your behind done got softer now. Amen, because if you had to listen to mama that day with church and you had to went to church, amen, when you said you were going to work or something else you had to, something else was going on.
Yep.
I know many a time you done said your behind done got softer now, because if you had about it and went by what your mom had said, that would have prevented that shooting today. But then, because it was already in the plans, for God knows the plan that he has for you and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, it may not have happened then. It may have happened at another time, and the tragedy may have been a success of life taken. But because your mom and those that's in your circle, somebody were praying for you. But I say to you today, I can look back over your life, my life, you know, I don't know, but just hearing your mom back there in the background, you know, you had a good mom, a very good, you got a good mom and a very structured mom. But I know we don't learn until latter. Our latter days is our greater days. But I know your behind done got softer now. You done got softer now because you pay attention to what mom says now. Amen. To God be the glory. But I'm just grateful that you had your mom in your corner. Hard head makes a soft behind. And I know it was just intriguing just to be young and dumb and stupid with a gun. You know, I tell my that today. You know, young, dumb, and stupid, because we're trying to keep up with the trend. And, you know, we get excited about those things, and those things, Satan has a way of coming to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I'm grateful that you're here to tell your story so that you're able to encourage somebody else about somebody that came in on that Sunday and saved a wretch like you. Amen. So I'm grateful. And I thank God for your mom. Mother, I'm grateful for you. I'm appreciative of you. Amen. To God be glory. And you're still standing. You're still standing. So you have much more to tell, and you have many more to save, not even just young, because you can be young and strong, but God is still calling thee home. You know, so young, strong, elder, older, whatever the case may be, I know that you're behind a softer today than it ever has been. So I'm grateful, and I give God the praise and honor for you. Thank you for your story. Amen. But continue to tell somebody about somebody that saved you on that Sunday. God bless you, Zarek, and I look continually, amen, to see the success that God has for you, that you can touch somebody else's life. Reach out and touch somebody else's hand and make this a better day. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I'm completed.
Amen.
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 Anybody else?
Do you have any other questions or comments?
Well, I think my comment is treat life, you know, like you really love it.
Mm-hmm.
Treat life like you really love it. And like I said, since I lost my vision, now it helps me see life more clear now.
Cool.
And like I say, when you're blind, you can see
mm-hmm.
clear. You can see things more.
That's right.
You know, you really can. I'm not saying it just to say it. Like, when I hang around certain people, I don't even have to know you. You know,
if
the spirit just don't feel right, I feel uncomfortable.
That's right.
I won't even be around certain people. So, like I said, and even this is just really chapter one about my life.
Yeah.
Even when I lost my vision, I had episodes, many other stories that I went through that people still wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been blind, you know, since I've been robbed, since I've been blind,
mm-hmm.
just for me, death
mm-hmm.
happened because of losing my brother. Me losing my brother hurt me so much where I tried to bring my brother back. I'm trying to be him.
Yes.
How much, much I love, I came back.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing they tell me, matter of fact, a good example, the program that I was starting called MEC. You know, make a choice, make
mm-hmm.
a change. That's all
make a choice.
Talk.
Yeah.
It's all situations you put yourself in. You make a choice, everything in life. So,
right.
the goals you put on, it's not hard to know what the outcome. Yeah, it's not
mm-hmm.
hard to see how the outcome about certain things you put yourself in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, person, you know, if you're gang related. Don't want to live a thug life or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We I'm talking about people that's gang related, blood, Crips, Vice Lords, Gray Street. It really don't matter, man. You need to be mostly focused on your family or focus more
that's
on
right.
life. Get it.
That's right.
If you live your life wrong in the street and make you can't. I mean, it's not even a mistake. It's not even a mistake. If you live in a street life, a thug life, how is it a mistake? Of you shooting somebody or of you robbing. That's not
Amen.
A mistake. That's you took.
Okay.
So people
Amen.
Need to understand, take their choice, how it's going to come out. Like they told me,
mm-hmm.
25 years, 15 to 25 years of bedtime, man, when they told me that, bedtime, you ain't getting out. You're going to do your whole time.
You better say that.
So, yeah, I mean, like I said, 25 years, see, that number 25 looks like just a number, 25. But when
uh-huh.
you put a year behind it, oh, that's a whole different number right there.
You better come
you
on.
In jail, but mm-hmm. you ain't got no life no more in jail. They said you wasn't do this. Just tell the truth, that's really like
slavery. That's right, you belong to them.
If you wasn't do, where you eat, where you going to be? I'm grown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need nobody telling me when I can eat, when I go to bed and all. So, like I said, just anybody living their thug life, anybody want to be gang-related and all that, man, look, see, so you need to find some love to kind of way or teach other people. Even blood, Crips, or whatever, any gang, because you're in a gang, you got to go out and kill and all that. And we got to think about it, man. We really need to think about how the game is set up. Think about how the game is set up. Think about all the laws. The government. Think about all of that stuff. If we keep doing what we're doing, it's people laughing at us. I'm just being real. I'm going to say black people, you know, people laughing at us because we trying to be thugs and out here doing stuff like it's supposed to make us look big and bad and like it's cool, but we the one losing our life and losing our family over money, material, and all of that. It ain't that serious. It ain't that serious. People, they'll die for their hood. They'll die for their sick, but won't die for a family member. you know, if you get caught up in something, you time in jail, or you about to do time and got a high bail, we're going to see how many thugs or how many gang members going to put something on my bail. Or who, when I was in the hospital, we had bills, big bills. My bills went up to almost $1 million. 6 digits to pay. More than that. Ain't been no gang member coming there and putting nothing on my bill. Didn't nobody come and support me when I got out the coma, me losing my business. The only one stayed next to me, just being real. Junior, you know, we stayed close all the time. And my other partner, you know, Polo Wasfield, I stayed in touch, but I really know how it was when I had vision. We was gangbang. It was a whole different ball. But I see, you know, if a person gonna be your friend, they gonna stay close to you regardless. You're supposed to be another separation from a family or a friend. So that's why I feel like you can't find another family. You know what I'm saying? Your family might not be perfect, but you got something. These people out here don't even have a family. They don't feel good when you ain't got no family, because I know people that's in this situation. You crying by yourself with nobody next to you. When you're struggling and going through stuff, you're by yourself. And when you're in a gang, when you young, yeah, you're going to be around your gang members and all that, but when years go by in your life and you're getting older, they ain't going to help you pay your bills. They ain't going to raise your kids. Only thing they can do is help you get locked up. It might not be the same, but just the direction you get from gangbang, only thing in front of you is going to be things. It ain't going to come out good about it. If it comes out good, your life is going to be hard because a big percent of gang members didn't graduate. And if you didn't graduate, you ain't got no GED. So these days, you got to have a GED that's to work at the LC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. You ain't got no knowledge.
So I have a question. So after you got shot and everything, you was in the hospital, got out. So did you ever run across any other gang members or whatever? Did they try to bother you or you, make fun of you and stuff like that?
Man, the jamboree. And this wasn't too long after I got the hospital. And I was with my gang members. Now, these high-ranked people you will see on gangland. These ain't no goody poo people acting like they, you know, these real numbers. I went to the jamboree for them. It was crazy. When I got to the jamboree, man, it was so good. I went to Woodville High School. They haven't saw me in a long time. Like I said, I was so cool. I wasn't just out. Just I was in the gang. I went out trying to start stuff and got a whole lot of enemies and all that. I had much respect and friends at the school I went to. When they had saw me come in the jamboree, they saw me come in. Now I got so many hugs and all that, and handshakes, and my folks haven't saw me, and so many people thought I was dead. Even to this day, there's some people still think I'm dead. I talked to one of my friends a month ago. Well, a couple of weeks ago, matter of fact, when she saw me, when heard me on the phone, she started seeing tears on the phone. She couldn't even talk. She thought I was dead. But like I said, if they jump through, me and my partners, we sit down and just conversation, you know, laid back. I'm having fun, you know, my old school I done been to. And this dude came in, and it was one of my enemies in the past. You know, I ain't going to never forget. He came in. And like I said, I was blind when it happened. I was blind. When he came in, one of my partners told me, one of my bloods, he said, hey, so-and-so just came in here. I'm like, for real? I said, yeah, man, he walking over here right now. See, they know him too, and I know him. But he might be cool with some of them, but with me, nah. Even though because of stuff happened in the past, you know, it's still a part of the future. Me and him had problems in the past, and I lost my vision, so that problem in the past still have not been resolved. I don't even think he knew I was blind. But he came in the jamboree, and I know he got a gun on him. When he came in, I told one of my partners, he came close to where we at and sat right behind me, like probably three to 4 feet down from where I was sitting at. And my little gang member was right here, too. I told one of my gang members, for real, I said, man, give me your gun, bro. Until I wanted to shoot this man, for real. I'm playing. I wanted to shoot this man at the jamboree in front of all these folks because I was kind of really nervous because it's the same dude in the past, you know, that I shot.
Huh.
He said, so,
hey, man.
Then day, then night.
Oh, wow.
Then night, when we left that jamboree, man, sitting in the car, one of my bloods put a pistol in my lap, a 40 caliber, a chrome one. He put the clip in there. He took the clip out. But he was just showing, he was like, man, when he put it in my lap, he was like, he said, you like this gun on? I'm touching. I'm like, yeah. But at the same time, I'm blind. I'm like, this what got me. He got me like this. And I'm sitting up her head and one in my lap.
Amen.
That's crazy. And I'm like, dead night. That was my last time being around my guy no more. That was my last time.
Okay.
That's like I'm putting myself in the same position again. Like the devil mess with you. The devil know what you like.
He's a mess.
205, you're unmuted if you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I have a question I'd like to ask. When you joined the gang, did you have to do certain things to become a member? You know, because I've heard you had to do certain things like probably hurt somebody or kill somebody to get into these type of gangs. And I just wondered, what did they ask you to do to become a member?
It's different. It depends on your fit, you know. But a lot of you are like, you know, Crips and Bloods, you know, some of them either get put on the set fighting. You know, you probably fight some members on the set. But like I said, rules is different in different states. Rules be different in different states. You know, you go to some states, some people, you know, they might go kill another rival gang member, or you might go rob somebody, you know, different things. But me, myself, you know, I was put on the set, you know, for fighting. And then other people, you know, when you be in it for a while and doing certain things, what they call dirt and all that, you know, your rank go up. And then you start putting other people on the set to the point where you can put people out to go handle business.
Oh, okay. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Was that everyone?
Hold on 1 second. I have.
Hello.
405, you are muted. Yeah. Go ahead, baby.
Yeah. What's up, Derek? This is John, man. I'm calling in Oklahoma. I've been listening to your story, man. And, you know, we all as young black men, you know, we kind of share similar backgrounds. You know, I'm not blind or nothing like that, but, you know, I dibbled and dabbled in gangs myself. You know what I'm saying? I was a Blood member once upon a time when I was young, too. You know, I don't share this story with too many people, but your story is touching. You know, and, you know, just like most people on here, I'm familiar with some of them, you know, y'all's stories is very touching, man, and hard feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and I thank God that God kept you here, you know, and like Evangelist Clayton said, you know, your testimony is good. My question is what would you say to a young man that was listening to your story from your past experience that wanted to join the gang? What would be your advice to that person?
Well, I feel like, you know, like I said, make a choice, make a change. Don't just hear up and think. I mean, don't hear up and answer a question quick. You know, if you think about being on a guy, I mean, you got to sit down and think. You know. Because ain't nothing good coming out. You know, money, hanging around people, and flashy cars and all of that, you ain't going to have that your whole life. you know, when you get older and older, the stuff you had in the past is going to start disintegrating. It's going to be gone. When you get older, the past is going to be gone. But everything out in the past got something to do with what you're doing right now. So if you're using 5 to 10 years in the past, and during that time you ain't been doing nothing but negative stuff, those 10 years, where you gonna be at? Nowhere. So if you're in a game, just tell the truth, you just going in a circle, 360 degrees. You ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
So just wasting time. People need to understand if you can sit there and sit down and read all your information about whatever set you on, you know when it started and who this and who that. Then mean, educate yourself in school. Teach yourself know about the Bible. Pop yourself in your head. If you can sit up here and read something about 666 and 555, it ain't helping you get no job. It ain't taking you nowhere. You just don't know about the street. But you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was telling in my neighborhood when I was growing up, man, the only thing that we looked up to was the big homies, the OGs. You know, we always had a thing that we wanted to become just like them, you know, selling dope, having nice cars, clothes, and jewelry and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at this time period when I was growing up, you know, times wasn't kind of like it is now. You know, we didn't have these opportunities, you know, as young black men. You know, we was underprivileged. You know, white kids was always being placed before us, you know, not to sound racist, but just telling it like it is. You know, even when we was playing football, you know, we didn't have the nice things. You know, our family wasn't supportive. You know, some of our mothers was on crack, some of our fathers was in prison. You know, so we suffered. And the only people we had looking up to was some of the big homies, the OGs, some of our uncles was in gangs and stuff like that. So we kind of leaned towards that lifestyle as our family, you know. And as I grew up and got older, I realized that wasn't a lifestyle for me, you know. So, you know, I share in that same thing. But for the brother that was asking about, you know, how do people get initiated? There's different ways to get initiated in gangs. You know, sometimes you get jumped in. Sometimes, you know, it depends on what type of sets you from. You know, some people don't even get jumped in. They just get quoted on. You know, they just become friends with people, and you in, man. You know, you're the popular kid. You in.
Blessed
in. You know.
Amen.
Like you see, now situations like that, sometimes you get less respect, though. You know, it depends on how you getting on the thing. You know, if you did get, you know, if you ain't really putting in no dirt, your respect, it's going to be different. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I understand, like I said, life can be hard. But why? The question is, people need to ask, why do we have to always find the negative road? Why do we follow negative thoughts? Why we can't follow the positive? Why we can't for real just try to teach our brothers and sisters about, you know, how to love others? That's what the Bible is all about. But I ain't, like I said, everybody got their own thoughts. So I ain't trying to, you know, push people, make them be Christians and all that. Everybody got their own thoughts. But the point is, man, it's always some positive stuff to read. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got to look at negative stuff. We ain't got to listen to gangster music. If you listen to gangster music, you need to have a strong mind. Because I'm telling you, music, TV, and all they got something to do with our lifestyle. If you bumping Tupac and you bumping Bone Thugs and Harmony, Tupac, Juicy J, 3-6, if you bumping nothing but negative stuff and talking about, you know, we sell dope and we do this and we do that, and it's getting your attention, man, that can tell you more about spiritual stuff. Mm-hmm. All that's about spiritual stuff.
Dark.
Yeah. You let dark stuff in your head, in your heart, that's what you're going to follow. You're going to follow your music. You're going to act like your music. Because think about it. If you listen to gospel music every day, even if it ain't every day, if you just listen to it and you praying or you doing something positive every day and never listening to negative music, you ain't finna go out on the street ready to sell dope and go shoot. Only thing that gear you to do that is what you watching and what you let take over your mind. Your mind, that's the strongest thing in you. You need to be able to control your thoughts. And I had a, matter of fact, see, I write poems. I had a poem called A War Between My Brain and My Heart. And that's for everybody. Every thought that you have, pay attention to your heart. You're going to see your heart miss a beat, and it has something to do with the way how you're thinking. So every thought is going to make your heart. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to do something that ain't right, follow your heart. Don't follow your mind. So your mind sometimes has you going the wrong direction. But this same thing happened to me.
Amen.
Follow my body, but follow my heart.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your story.
Have you heard?
Amen.
Was that somebody in the background trying to be heard? I couldn't hear.
Yeah, can y'all hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I don't have no question. I just want to say this. Bro, Zerick, man, I appreciate you, dog. You know what I'm saying? Coming out here telling your story, man, as you heard the other gentleman share, you know, these are secrets that y'all keep. You know what I'm saying? A lot of this stuff y'all have to keep and take it to your grave. And only you and Jesus know about it. You know what I'm saying? But I want to say I thank you, bro, for coming out here and pouring your heart out here, letting everybody know, man, we serve a mighty God, dog. You know what I'm saying? We heard about how Jesus was raised from the dead, but we didn't know how Zerick was brought from the dead. You know what I mean? There's a lot of times we hear about the spiritual encounters, but it's totally different when you talk to the flesh. You know, you were pronounced dead. You know what I mean? But God saw different. God told the devil to flee. And I just want to thank you, bro. I thank the Lord that I got the opportunity to meet you. And again, I appreciate you sharing your story, bro.
Yeah, man. For a reason, I'm glad I met all of y'all. And myself, man, I've been trying to find a way to reach out, you know, just to, you know, give some kind of positive information because, man, like I said, you only live life one time, and these kids, new teenagers, these kids have no respect for adults. You know, they're talking bad.
No respect.
So kids are going to jail at age 12, 10 years old, shooting people. Man, I'm telling you, we got to really, seriously, these people in the world are blind. I hope people hear that for real. Y'all people are blind out here because y'all breaking rules out here and thinking y'all really winning. All y'all losing. All of them losing. Okay. They ain't making it with all of that. They need to understand it, man.
I just wanted to say real quick, Ms. AJ,
I think,
again.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think Mr. Six was saying something.
Mr. Six, you in the building?
Yes, two things I was trying to say. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
This is Tootsie from South Carolina. I appreciate your encouragement, testimony. It's going to be encouragement to somebody who has listened to it. Not in the same way, but I've been, you know, through gang shit myself, and I overcome stuff. And one of the most things that brought the highlight of what you said, that you said, you said that's the last time. That's a powerful statement that I try to get a lot of young people to say, that's my last time. And so keeping with your word, you know, that's the last time. I want to send you an invitation. Maybe later I can hook up you on Facebook. I got an organization called BOME. It's BOMAE, Brothers of Motivation and Encouragement, because your story was definitely an encouragement. I know it's going to help some young people that comes later on and listen to this word that you gave today. And I appreciate you the fullest, sir. Thank you very much for your encouragement and your testimony, sir.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
And I just really quick, this AJ again, I just really want to quickly say I appreciate you coming through tonight, sharing your story and your testimony with us tonight. And I promise you that a lot of people heard your story tonight. We are definitely all over America. Absolutely. So definitely, I know that what you spoke upon tonight can definitely have an effect and help somebody maybe make that right decision, like you said, and take that moment and really think, like, do I have other options? Do I have other choices? Because like you said, you know, like you say, blood in, blood out, you know what I'm saying? And we understand what that means, you know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to put that out there, and I appreciate you, sir, for coming through. Anyone else?
Hello, this is Destiny.
Hey,
you.
Hey.
Y'all, but anyway. Mr. Zerg, I just want to say thank you for coming out to share your story. It has been an eye-opener to me about stuff, you know. I'm not a gang member or don't want to be a gang member, never been in a gang, but it's been an eye-opener to life, per se. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing your story, because I know it touched me, so I know it touched other people. And congratulations on your marriage as well as your kids. So congratulations once again. And this is Destiny.
May I?
Absolutely.
Zeri, this is my checkable again. I just want to thank you once again and your mom for coming on and sharing your story. It was a very touching story. Like, oh, my God. You are one of the few that lived through a gunshot. You know, my brother, he wasn't fortunate enough to live through his gunshots. You know what I'm saying? So, it's a blessing, you know. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
And thank you again. And like I said, congratulations on your marriage and everything.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Derek, this is Queen. Thank you again for your story. My question is your wife around?
Not right now. I'm in
Okay. I was going to pull her out and have her say something.
All right.
Amen.
I like to pull folks out of there. But I thank you again for your story. I give praises to you and your mom both for your relationship. We don't see that a whole lot anymore. So keep up the good work. Keep each other focused. Keep each other prayed up. And I wish well both to all of you guys. Thank you so much for coming.
Folks, get out of here. Go ahead. Somebody want
to
say something?
Okay, I wanted to say something, ask you a question. That since you told your story over again, because the more you tell it, the more you'll be able to live through it more and more and more. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel? Do you feel like, do you have a change right now? Do you feel a change? Or do you feel like the same man that when you came in this room and you began this story? Or do you get a change in that? That's what I want to know.
No, it's like every time. Well, I'm just say, in the last, two or three days,
mm-hmm.
I've been finding, you know, little pieces of the puzzle that I was missing, you know,
mm-hmm.
about my life. And,
mm-hmm.
man, my mother, like I said, she was around, you know, when I was in the coma, and, you know, all the details, you know, that coming from Junior, how he was acting and how other people reacted. And like I said, see, I'm blind. So I never really thought about or tried to picture people's face in my head of how they feel or how they looking right now after I lost my vision. I never thought about that. See, when I think about that, man, I'm coming, it makes my heart beat where tears about to drop a lot, because I'm like, I can't do nothing but pause. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's just hard to really grasp all this stuff that happened. And one thing is, let me know, man, how much I love my mama and how much I love my family. It just showed me so much for real. That's why I want people to really, you know, take that to the heart, you know, about friends, family, and all that. take this serious, you know, because when you lose your family or your family lose you, you can't bring them back. You can't bring them back. And even like, don't never go to sleep or don't turn your back and you having problems with somebody. You know, try to resolve it. Don't go to sleep with problems on your mind because you're going to wake up with the same thing.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
I would like to say something if I can.
Right ahead.
Hey, Zeri, I need you to send me $25 for a new wife beater, man. I've been crying over here and got teardrops all over my wife beater.
Oh, my God.
You know,
if your wife beat costs $25, you better go watch that and keep that for a while. Your wife beat costs you $25.
Dry that on it.
Hey, what did the guy say?
I know the prices went up, but now
I'm
$10.99.
I'm a big man, you know what I'm saying?
You better go watch that bad boy out.
Do y'all see how much FNE is?
Huh?
What'd you say, Greg? Your
nah,
phone
that was
breaking up, sir.
Bro.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah.
I know you
good.
You said, we see what?
Now I'm saying, do you see how much staffing is? The three L's.
Yeah, I get that
life,
all the time from them.
Yeah, life, love, and laughter. The best three L's, man. So just picture your life without those three L's, life, love, and laughter. Think about how life would be. No laugh, no love. It seems like you only have a life. You just hear.
And
I want to say something, may I?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you may.
And for whoever missed the show, you can go on the podcast and listen to the show. Type in Six Sides Radio Network, and there you go. You can pull it up like that. You can catch the show. You can catch yourself from last week, the other week, the week after that. There you go. Six Sides Radio Network and the podcast.
AJ and the Squad.
You can do you one better than that. You can pull up AJ and the Squad and join our Facebook page, and you can see all kinds of stuff. You can see all of our lovely faces, all that good stuff. Yes. Come join our page, AJ and the Squad.
Squad.
Anyone else? Real quickly before we get up out of here, like we always do about this time, God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And we all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can I say one thing for you before we head out of here? So next Friday, everybody that's listening throughout the whole airwaves, make sure you check us out next Friday because we got a surprise for you guys. But make sure you come check us out. That's all I'm going to say about it. But you're not going to want to miss it. You're not going to want to miss it.
And I would ask y'all and tell y'all to stay tuned to that, to the Facebook page for updates, maybe some clues, maybe some hints. You never know. You never know. Stay tuned to the Facebook page. And definitely tune in next Friday. You know?
Call a friend, and call a friend, and call a friend, and call three more friends. And come on over.
What they say, crack a bell, bring a friend.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You bring a friend, and you bring a friend, and you bring a friend. I want to say, thank you to Greg and to Mama for helping this young man get through his story. I know it was kind of rough for him, but I think y'all being there and aiding him on, I think that was very helpful for him. So thank you guys very much for being willing vessels.
Absolutely. Vance Clayton wanted to say something. I think Evangelist Clayton wanted to say something before we got up out of here.
I'll wait.
Well, we're about to get up out of here, so if you wanted to say something, Evangelist Clayton, now would be the time.
I was going to say speak to me, but we didn't have her tonight, huh? Speak to me.
She actually left, so hopefully we can get her back again. So, yeah, we're going to work on that.
Okay.
I'm glad that'll be very useful, very helpful.
Amen. Amen. All right, I enjoyed this show tonight. It really.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you, guys.
No
appreciate
problem.
Everyone.
Well, have a great night.
Thank you, AJ, and the bar again.
You get yourself ready next, okay? Thank you. Goodbye. Good night.
Good night, Charlie, for coming out. And Minister LC, thank you all.
She told somebody they better get ready. I don't know what she means.
Night, night.
Talking about good. We talking about good. Talking about good.
When y'all see him, send him a text message for me. Y'all have a good night.
We sure will. Good night.
Yeah. Here we go.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye. You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the 6-5 Radio Network. Hit us up, 424-243-9617. Check, check. That was Pastor Cobb, Break Every Chain.
To replay, press 1. To decrease volume.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, good night.
Good night.
6 Hours Radio Network, AJ and the Squad.
And again, it would be us. Another good show for the books.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Alrighty. Thank you for
catch
all you
on
do
the other side. Absolutely.
Yes,
thank you for all you do.
Yes.
All right, bye.
Good night.
All right. I'll holler at you in a minute.
All right.
Yeah.